Welcome to the Be Audacious podcast. I'm so excited that you're joining us today for a whole new episode. I'm Mrs. Cassandra Gay. Take a listen.
On today's episode, we have Sayla Hirsch, and I have had the privilege of knowing her for at least 5 years. I'm a little off, probably on my time frame, but it's probably been a little longer. But she's been one that when you get around her, whether it's virtual, if it's on the internet, whether you're in person with her, she just has this beautiful personality that lights up a room. You just want to be near her and you want to get to know her. And she's just been one that I have served in women's ministry with her, and she has this amazing story, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So without me rambling anymore, here's Sayla.
My name is Sayla Hirsch. If you ever see me in Starbucks, I just give the code name Sarah, because I'm just like, give me the coffee now. But my name is Sayla, and it's spelled like in Psalms, S-E-L-A-H, and it's Hebrew. It means to pause and wait on God. And that is something that moments like this, being surrounded with this beautiful community of women, I believe allows us to do. I think that women's hearts were made to lean in against other women's hearts as a place for comfort, for nurture, for joy, for strength. I love laughter. My favorite part of being around women is just the ability to encourage each other. I feel like we all need that. And Cassandra, I am just so grateful that you had the courage to fight off fear and distraction. For most of us moms with young kids, I'll even add exhaustion to the list. And it's because of your audaciousness. I'm going to try to play on that word today, audaciousness. It makes me want to think of the teenage Ninja Turtles, Cowabunga dude, your audaciousness. Anyways, for your audacious step to launch this podcast brings us all here today. And so I've been thinking and praying about our time together. And it dawned on me that audacious, I feel like, is this wonderful mix of obedience and courageous steps. That's the life I want to live. And so each day, with eyes wide open, I feel like I am putting one foot in front of the other, just I'm sure like as so many other women who are listening today, step by step, leaning in to the heart of the Lord. And so I like to say I am just a girl in love with Jesus. I am a redhead. I am passionate and strongly caffeinated. In fact, I relate pretty well with I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball, because I can sometimes be ambitious to the point that it gets me into a little bit of trouble. Is anyone else here on the podcast like an act now and apologize later kind of person? Because if so, we're in the same tribe. But I was born and raised in Florida. I'm a Floridian at heart. And so you might see me running through the cold winter weather in Oklahoma, even occasionally possibly in flip-flops. But I'm married to a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, my best friend, Michael. We've been married nearly 13 years. And we have three kids. In fact, I got a good laugh a few months ago when I saw a meme on Facebook that came out around when the latest Jurassic Park movie was in the theaters, and it was one of the main guy characters kind of fending off these three dinosaurs. And I totally laughed to myself, that is what I feel like our lives are with our three kids. We've got three under 6 years old. We have Naya, who is six, Tinsley, 4.5, and our little guy, Anchor, is 2.5 years old. And so my husband and I, we live in Norman, Oklahoma. And we lead a leadership organization called LoveWorks Leadership. And then I have my own small business on the side, Pipeline. I'm in branding and communications. But for the purpose of our podcast today, if I had an imaginary rewinder, like the black box kind that I know I had as a kid, I would pop in the VHS tape and the little wheels would whir and spin by, because it was always easier to rewind a VHS tape in the little separate box than it was to wait for it on the TV screen. My story truly starts at the beginning. So as a young girl, I can remember my parents driving us to church every Sunday. And my dad would wiggle the rearview mirror so that he could look at me in the back. And he would say, Sayla, remind me to tell you a story I know of a little girl who Jesus raised from the dead. Now, my dad is a great storyteller, and I would beg him, tell me now. And he would just kind of chuckle and schlep it off and say, oh, I'll tell you later. He would hang with me sometimes for a few minutes, and then I would go back to just bantering with my younger brother in the back seat. It's really a miracle now that I think about this, that my brother and I were even in the backseat of that car, because my mom shared with us, you know, as we were older and I got to know part of her story, that she vowed that she would never have kids. See, she came from a dysfunctional and an abusive Jewish home, and that was the last thing that she wanted to model. So when she married my Catholic father, they threw themselves headfirst into a small health food store, and they basically called it their baby. They were that stereotypical picture of the crunchy hippie type with permed curly hair, yes, both of them, and thought they were at total peace with their lives. And so the first chapter of my story hinges onto her story. See, she was led to the Lord by a Christian holistic doctor and his wife. They had 6 kids. I couldn't even imagine. I'm just trying to keep my 3 alive. So they were a family of 8, and they had 6 children. They would come shop at my parents' health food store. And in my mom's words, she would share that she had never seen a love like that before in a family. It makes me think a lot of times of my family, and I are running around into different stores. Like, what is the light that we shine? And they got to know this family. And one evening, she was at his medical clinic and began to ask question after question, just as they bubbled up into her heart. She was trying to understand the love of Abba Father God. In the midst of that moment that evening, the phone rang. And I love when she shares the story, because she tells us that it was actually the doctor's wife calling him to come home. One of their kids had gotten hurt, like skinned his knee up really bad or something, fallen off of a bike. And the doctor responded back and said, I can't come home right now. I'm helping the Lord do heart surgery on Judy. And so with my mom, with tears rolling down her cheeks that night, she wholeheartedly accepted Jesus as her savior. Well, soon my father followed, and that's why I then had the seat every Sunday in the back of that station wagon on our way to church. They had fallen head over heels in love with Jesus. And week after week, I can remember seeing my dad's big toothy smile in the rearview mirror. And he would tell me, hey, remind me to share a story of a little girl I know who Jesus raised from the dead. So my oldest daughter recently turned 6, Naya turned 6. And I was marveling with my husband about how we're starting to delve into places of more meaningful conversation and connection.
I love creating Bible tools to help you be in the Word more often. I also love to create Bible tools that have a unique personality just like you. And so I have created something that is unique, fun, colorful, different kind of themes, and they're Bible tabs. Bible tabs for your Bible. Below, you'll find a link to order your own set of unique Bible tabs from our Etsy shop.
So I was just slightly older at age 7 when one summer evening, my dad asked me to take a walk with him on the beach. We had been playing all day. In fact, I should probably be soon on the lookout for wrinkle cream because of baking in the sun all those years growing up. But we walked the waterline, and he casually began to tell me a story of a husband and a wife who had prayed for a child. And their hearts were overjoyed as they got closer to the due date. Would it be a boy? Would it be a girl? It was a surprise, and they just couldn't wait. But as the day came, a hot evening in June one summer, and the delivery progressed, it was apparent that something was wrong. There was a tension in the air, and complications had started to arise. Someone ran to another room and told a group of friends waiting to bring in flowers and balloons in celebration of the baby. Instead, they were told to pray now. And the tension filled the room as the natural birth began to stall. The doctor and the medical team worked as well as they could, but the unthinkable became apparent. The baby was Frank Breach and had twisted, wrapping the cord around her neck, suffocating in the womb. Tick tock, tick tock. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It took 4 minutes for the medical team to safely extract the little body. And in those minutes, the air had seeped out of the baby's lungs. The baby's body was blue. It was limp and cold to touch. Tick tock, tick tock, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. They tried oxygen. They tried CPR, all the available medical supplies, and nothing was happening. Nothing was changing. Tick tock, 7 minutes. No movement from the baby. No breath, 8 minutes. In most hospitals, after 5 minutes, a baby is declared clinically dead. The room fell silent. The walls just felt as they were pressing in. And then a whisper, not the audible sound, like that of a baby faintly crying that everyone was hoping and praying and waiting for. This whisper had the sound of the enemy's taunting voice. And as the father held his lifeless child in his arms, he heard these words, "Look what I've done. I've taken your firstborn. And even if she was to breathe, she would be a vegetable for the rest of her life." Tick tock, tick tock, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. Time was frozen. 12 minutes, 13 minutes. The father was young in his faith, but he knew more than just this prayer, "If it is your will." He knew that God was the giver of life, the truth, the one who called the day and the night into existence and breathed life upon the world, that in moments of great despair that we can call on his name, that our God is not a golden idol, but a living supernatural God. So the father, with barely the ability to talk, spoke out the words, "Abba, Father, I pray you would give my baby life." 14 minutes, 15 minutes, 16 minutes. The minutes felt like hours as his heart held to the thread of faith, the size of a mustard seed as the mountain stood before him. Tick tock, 17 minutes. And suddenly, all on its own, a tiny breath, a single gasp for air out of a cold, lifeless body. 17 minutes of silence was shattered as another breath, and the doctor and the medical team sprang to life. They even went and grabbed a hairdryer to warm the body as fast as possible. And at this point, my dad and I, we had sat down from our walk on the beach, and we were watching just the waves crash. I will never forget the moment my dad looked at me and said, "Sayla, that little girl is you. Jesus raised you from the dead." The look in his eyes that day was of a man who had seen darkness shatter in the light, who lived truly understanding the power and the reality of the God that we worship, of a miracle-making God. Eyes wide open. That is literally my testimony. There are pictures and documents of my birth that put, as the Message Bible phrases it, the God of the angel armies on display. And eyes wide open is how I believe we're called to live as audacious women. Years ago, the Lord took me through a deep place of discovering my identity as a daughter of the King, and he whispered to me one day this saying, "She wakes in the morning with eyes wide open and says, 'I am his.'" She wakes in the morning with eyes wide open and says, "I am his." What a way to wake up, heart to heart and strength to strength, with the one who has your name written on the palm of his hand. I love these two verses in Psalm 143:8. The psalmist says, David says, "Wake me each morning with the sound of your loving voice, and I'll go to sleep each night trusting in you. point out the road I must travel, I am all ears and all eyes before you. The other verse I love to live by is Psalm 27:8. It says, the prayer of my heart. It says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. So I am just a girl in love with Jesus, far from perfect. My husband and kids can testify to that. But my story has shaped me to always live with the reality of God. For us moms, you may be able to relate to this. It's like when your kids wake you up early, you could be sound asleep in bed, but the feeling of their presence just standing next to you just jolts you awake. And many times they're just standing there staring at you, and it's this very cute and creepy feeling. But I feel like that's a little bit of what it's like living with the reality of His Spirit and His presence. And so my encouragement to you ladies is to be quick to recognize His presence, to listen to His whispers, to walk with the quickening and the prompting of His Spirit. And when our actions are maybe not loving, or our words are too quick or hurtful, or our thoughts give in to shame or to guilt or to doubt or to lies, to be just as quick to repent, to know that our actions can break the heart of God. I feel like that makes us agile to ask for forgiveness and to receive His grace. So as daughters of the King, we recognize and we repent, I believe, so that then we can rise and respond. If you're a morning person like me, rising in the morning is very fun. I'm a morning person. I think a few of you I've heard on the podcast share that you're not. No worries if that's not your jam. But for many years, I have started each day with a whisper of words that come out of my heart. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. I whisper the words so many times as my eyes are just opening and my body is leaning forward and my feet are hitting the ground. And I've found that I literally can't start a day without the desire and the habit now of acknowledging His presence. I do that a lot of times then with a smile on my face, because how can you say Jesus without a smile crossing your face when many times I've been forward running to my coffee pot? But it's in these small, ordinary moments that we make, I believe, an altar to welcome His presence, that we can turn the ordinary into the sacred. And how amazing is it that we serve a God who then responds back to us in communion, in conversations, perhaps worship in your car, or recently I feel like I've turned my sink of dishes into a prayer command center for my family. I'm able to respond and talk back to Him and listen to His voice. Because we all know that the enemy is lurking, and he will disguise his voice in every attempt he can to hold us back, to tell us that we are not worthy of such a love, to surround our mind with lies, to cause us to shrink back, dull our senses, distract our minds, perhaps justify what others are doing, perhaps participate just a little, lose our convictions, grow into complacency, quiet our voices, to shrink back, to wilt. But the Lord has recently shown me that wilted and surrendered might look quite the same on the surface, except for one is powerful and one is powerless. And so I think at the moment of my birth, it was hard to tell the difference just looking at the facts. But the same Spirit of God who can breathe life into a dead baby works powerfully in those vulnerable, quiet places that we surrender. It's there He infuses us with the truth of His love for us. And so, ladies, my hope and my prayer is that each of you would wake in the morning with eyes wide open and say, I am His.
I love that. Oh my goodness, chills. One question that I always get to ask everyone, because you heard my last one, but how do you stay consistent in the word? How do you, what works in this season? Because as a mom and busy mom, how do you stay consistent in it?
The $1 million question of any women who are working, stay at home. I'm in the middle of those phases. I work, partially from home, and I have my kids part of the time. So it's this giant juggling act. And I'm not sure this is the best advice to give, Cassandra, but I do feel like this is where I'm at and what's working for me is taking my nature of being a multitasker, and instead of fighting it, I look for all the ways to insert time with the Lord throughout my day. And so I'm the one who is listening to worship while I'm folding my laundry. I'm listening to a teaching podcast when I am able to, you know, get to the gym and hit the treadmill. I am praying in the spirit while I'm driving to pick up my kids from school, or after I'm dropping them off from school. And then I do try to carve out a little bit of time that is truly focused, like my sanctuary type of moment is what I like to call it, early in the morning. And so as much as I try to walk around like a little ninja person in the morning and not wake my kids up, they are as early risers as I am. In fact, my husband says I drank too much coffee pregnant. They're just all little buds. So I have to set my alarm for about 4:45, 5 o'clock-ish in the morning to get up before them for just a little bit. And I wouldn't say I do it right every day, but I do it intentional every day. And I feel like that's just a way of that eyes wide open, looking for all these moments and including the Lord in everything, as well as those kind of rising and responding, listening and talking and recognizing. I feel like I just sprinkle them throughout my day.
And that's perfect. I mean, that works in this season. So that I get it. I get it. There are days where I'm the same way. I'm just in the midst of everything up in the air and it's falling and I will see what works. But I do want to say thank you so much for coming on, and then I finally got to hear your testimony. And I adore you and your husband and everything that you guys are doing within the community. And you guys are just amazing.
Audacious life, one day at a time with people like you in our lives. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this today.
I want to thank our guest again for coming onto the podcast and sharing their testimony. It's not easy sharing the story of where you came from, how you got to where you are, what God is doing in and through your life, but it's through that bravery that gives another woman who's listening a chance to find out her own story and write it down and be brave enough to share it. When we bring these things to the light, God can do even more than we could imagine, guess, in our wildest dreams. I also want to remind you to go ahead, make sure to subscribe, like, I don't know all the buttons, but also leave a review of the podcast. That helps us reach more listeners that need to hear these testimonies. And until next time.